podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of the Anfield Index Writers Podcast. I'm your host, Leanne Prescott, and joining me as ever is my co-host, Tom Holmes. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Leanne. How are you?
Yep, I'm good, thank you. Joining us today is Joseph and Hamza. Joseph, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Good to be on.
It's good to have you on. And Hamza, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Always good to be on here. So there's plenty I'm looking forward to talking about today.
Good, good. So, right, let's get straight to it. So we're going to start off with Joseph's article on Adam Lallana and why Adam Lallana could still be in Liverpool's midfield next season, why he potentially might be under threat because of possible incoming transfers. So, Joseph, just talk us through your thinking behind your article and your article ideas itself and basically what you were thinking in writing the article.
Yeah, cool. So I think when I was writing the article, it was just before Salah signed, but it was all the deal was pretty much done. Obviously, a lot of journalists had been saying that Coutinho was going to be moved deeper into midfield, which makes sense for a lot of reasons. Obviously, he's a very creative player, and there's a lot better when he operates in central positions. So that makes sense. And there was sort of a lot of opinion from Liverpool fans were that Lallana was going to drop to the bench and not play in midfield next season. And obviously, after he had such a successful season last season, apart from maybe Naby Keita, who's such a top-level player that he will push Lallana out the side, I can't really see, apart from in the big games, why Lallana won't be starting alongside Coutinho in midfield. A lot of the teams now coming to Anfield and sitting deep and playing in a low block, so we don't really need more than one defensive-minded midfielder playing. And that's why I think Lallana's creativity and ability in tight spaces will really, really benefit the team next season, even with Coutinho in midfield.
I would agree. I think it's quite a controversial stance to have because obviously Naby Keita might come in and everyone's thinking, you know, Liverpool potentially spending 50 to 70 million on this player. He's going to walk into the starting 11. Hamza, you've taken the approach sort of against Lallana, not excessively so, but taking the approach of if Keita is to come in, who plays alongside him and sort of where does Lallana fit into that picture? So just comparing your article to Joseph's, talk us through your stance and how you feel about the situation in midfield next season.
Yeah, that's right. For me, it's more of an issue of physicality, height, balance, the structure of the team and the defensive aspects of incorporating Lallana into midfield. So the way I see it is, there's a certain group of players that are definitely going to start. And with Salah being bought, Mane on one wing, you're definitely going to have two wingers, one on the left, one on the right. That means Coutinho isn't going to be playing on the left anymore, and he's going to be in midfield. If Coutinho's in midfield, he's very likely to be in the position that Lallana occupies and where Lallana's at his best. That means Lallana's probably going to be shifted out into a different midfield role, and that's where I think he won't be at his best, or that compromises the overall integrity of the defensive balance or structure of the team, as I don't think he can fulfill that sort of more rounded centre midfield role as well as, say, Wijnaldum or Chan have done this season. And that's my main issue here and what I'm trying to grapple with this article.
So, Tom, what would be your stance here? Because I know you're quite on the fence. You're obviously a big advocate of Emre Can and Coutinho potentially dropping into midfield to sort of provide the strings for Firmino, Salah and Mane. So where does Lallana fit into the picture for you? And can he, as Hamza's article addresses, can he start alongside Lallana? Because there is that issue of physicality and looking at, you know, teams like West Ham, they like to play very aggressive style of football. And can those two players alongside each other match that?
Well, I think there's a lot of things to consider here. And I think both of the guys have written really good articles that both tackle the situation from different perspectives. I think Hamza makes a really good point about the physicality of it, but that's not necessarily a point that I would be overly concerned about, because I think whichever way you do it, that's going to be a problem. The thing about balance for me is that Klopp has routinely gone with Wijnaldum and Lallana together in midfield, and I don't think Wijnaldum is significantly better either defensively or physically than Coutinho anyway. So I wouldn't be overly concerned if the midfield three was Henderson, Coutinho, Lallana, or Emre, Coutinho, Lallana. If, although I'm not sure this is the case at all, if it's a simple choice between Wijnaldum and Lallana with either Henderson or Chan deeper, then I think for me it's a straightforward choice. Lallana has to be picked. I think Lallana does bring a lot to the side. He brings a lot of energy. He brings a lot of fluidity. Brings a lot of creativity. He would be easily the most creative of those midfielders, apart from obviously Coutinho. On the other hand, I do think there's very much a case for playing both Henderson and Emre in the central midfield roles, because I'm a huge fan of both of them. As you've mentioned, I'm a massive Emre Can fan, and I think Emre should be a nailed-on starter. I think Henderson plausibly a nailed-on starter. And I think both gents are correct that if we bring in Naby Keita, although that's looking increasingly unlikely, he simply has to start. So that just creates another problem for Lallana. So yeah, I'm very much on the fence with this one. I think there's a lot of reasons to suggest that Lallana should be starting, and I think there's equally a lot of reasons to suggest other players should be starting. But I think, as I said, I think both gents have made a lot of interesting points. It just comes down to your personal preference for me.
Yes, so just going back to Joseph's argument, so what I want to do is sort of to and fro between the two stances. So if we just have a look at what Lallana brings to the midfield and the overall picture and how that maybe compares to Coutinho, as Hamza sort of discusses in his argument and bringing in that physicality argument that Hamza uses so well. So Joseph, to start with you, your article for me hits the nail on the head, because it says, you know, Lallana's technical ability in tight spaces, his ability to counter press and to always be on the move, looking to win the ball back for his side. He is Klopp. You know, he is exactly what Klopp wants in his play. He is exactly what Liverpool need in all 11 of their players. So is that something that you feel no one else can replicate in the midfield, and that's why he needs to be starting?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think another point that you've made is Lallana is probably one of Klopp's favourite players. The way he has took to the pressing game has probably only been equaled and maybe beaten by someone like Firmino, who's just as good at pressing, probably better. In terms of physicality, I get where Hamza's coming from, but particularly at home at Anfield, I mean, you're not getting many teams who are leaving more than about one player at the pitch. Sort of your West Bromwich, your Burnley, they're leaving one player at the pitch and sitting 9, if not 10 men beyond the ball. So I don't really think physicality is a big problem. Not too many of those sides have got midfielders like a Dembele or a Matic when he's on form, who are going to run throughout midfield, take on a couple of players, and have a free run at goal. If we get our two, if we've got two real quality centre-backs, Matip and Van Dijk or a Koulibaly, someone like that, and a number 6 and either Chan or Henderson, I think that's more than enough to deal with whatever sort of a team playing against us as we'll have. And then it's up to Coutinho, Lallana, and the front three to go and be creative and score goals. So I get where Hamza's coming with physicality, and maybe away from home he has a point, but certainly at home against sides who are increasingly coming to Anfield sitting in a low block, I don't necessarily think physicality is a massive problem for us.
Yeah, I think it does sort of come down to circumstance, doesn't it? Because if you're looking at playing maybe the Man City types, they obviously have the likes of Yaya Toure, who are very physical, but they do have the agile players, the very small players like David Silva. So it does depend heavily on the opposition. Hamza, for you, is it a case of, yes, we've mentioned the physicality, but again, in your article, what you do so well is you look at Lallana specifically and the fact that he is really good and really effective at both ends of the field because of how he operates and how energetic he is. And a potential midfield of Henderson, Coutinho and Lallana, would that maybe stifle Lallana's ability to go forward because Coutinho maybe doesn't track back in the way that Lallana does?
I would think that plays a part within it. I think we should look at how the midfield three in our 4-3-3 works. So you've got the deepest midfielder, which is usually, well, which is expected to be Henderson if he's fit. Then you have a midfielder, which over the course of the season was usually Wijnaldum, and Lallana was the other midfielder. It was sort of like a staggered three. So Lallana was the furthest forward of those three, And what Wijnaldum would do, he would sort of facilitate Lallana's role. He would allow him to break forward into the box and cover him defensively if we lost the ball. The thing I feel is that if we have Coutinho and Lallana both playing, they both won't be able to do that sort of role without leaving Henderson and the defenders exposed. Lallana's best aspect of his play in midfield is him being able to go forward. But like you said, if Coutinho is going forward, Lallana has to rein himself in. That's one of his best qualities that he's not going to be able to utilise for the team. I think that that's an issue there. But also, when you mentioned, say, Man City, they're not the biggest of teams. But the way that they play is they could easily, quite easily, pass through the middle of our midfield. And if you don't have that sort of defensive mindset or the players with that defensive capacity or capability like Emery Chan in the central midfield role, not the advanced, not the deeper midfield role, then the team is going to be exposed and broken through down the middle, which is exactly what you don't want to happen. I think Lallana's role within this, his best role is where Coutinho will play next season, in which case he should be on the bench and brought on as a substitute, as Coutinho is better in that position than Lallana is, unless we use a different formation. But that's a different argument altogether. But if we play this 4-3-3, I really don't see how we can get the best out of Lallana and the best out of Coutinho at the same time without compromising the defensive integrity of the team.
Yeah, I think in the big games, no doubt, you need a more defensive box-to-box type midfielder. We saw how effective Wijnaldum was in the big games. I think it's obviously surprised everyone how good he was defensively, but that game away, Chelsea in particular, I remember a couple of games in, couldn't believe how strong he was and how sound he was defensively. So in the big games, there's no doubt you need number six, a slightly more defensive box-to-box type midfield in Wijnaldum, and then obviously your creative player in either Coutinho or Lallana. I think an interesting point to bring up here is that when we reverted to the diamond late on in the season, everyone thought that Coutinho would be playing at the tip of the diamond in the number 10. But it was actually Lallana who played there and Coutinho who played slightly deeper, which meant that Coutinho could get on the ball more, dictate the play, and Lallana would sort of do his pressing from the front and playing the more attacking centre. So although I know what Hamza's saying, that you'd expect Coutinho to play slightly further forward, I wouldn't be surprised if Coutinho actually played in this asymmetric 4-3, slightly deeper than Lallana, just simply so he can get on the ball and dictate play and thread balls through to our front three.
Can I jump in here? I think that Joseph is absolutely spot on with that point. When I look at a 4-3-3 of Henderson or Emery and then Coutinho, Lallana, I absolutely see Coutinho in the Wijnaldum role, in the recycling role, in the controlling role. He is the sort of player who will dictate the play, and he can do that just as easily from deep as he can from the further forward position. In fact, I absolutely agree. I think he would work really, really well doing effectively what Wijnaldum's been doing, but better, because the problem with Wijnaldum is that he tends to go very quiet, and what he'll do is he'll have like a 90% passing accuracy but only play 30 passes, whereas Coutinho can have a 90% passing accuracy but play 100 passes. So I would very much like to see Coutinho playing in the Wijnaldum role, allowing Lallana to do what Lallana does. On the counterpoint to that, though, I think the other thing I wanted to raise was that a lot of people talk about Lallana's pressing and his energy, but when you look at the players in our team who can press, who have that kind of energy, Emre Can is consistently up there. You know, I don't get me wrong, he's not quite on the same level as Lallana, because nobody in the Premier League, arguably in Europe, is on that level. But if you're looking at in terms of can Emre do the pressing job, can Emre bring the intensity that Lallana brings? Absolutely he can, to the extent that he'll be out-pressing and outrunning anyone else in our team and easily anyone in the opposition as well. So I think Emery's certainly capable of doing that side of the job, although inevitably Lana's going to be more creative. And I think, to an extent, you've both raised some really good points coming at it from almost opposite sides, which is that in a game where we're not going to need to worry about someone running through our midfield, we can afford to play Lallana and Coutinho, knowing that they're going to have more license to control and less license to need to defend. But maybe in a big game you might need an Emery alongside a Henderson in there to kind of balance it. So I absolutely categorically agree with Joseph that Coutinho could very, very easily play in the Wijnaldum role in that asymmetric 4-3-3 rather than in the Lallana role. And Hamza, I'd be very curious to get your opinion on that, whether or not you think that's a possibility.
I guess so, but Wijnaldum's role is quite specific to him, and Chan has played there as well. It involves a great deal of defensive work as well. There's quite a few games that I remember. The West Brom game, for example, where Foster came up in the last few minutes of the game, trying to score from the corner. Wijnaldum's role in that game specifically was he had a lot of containment to do, and can Coutinho do that? I really doubt that. But on the second point, we must also ask, does Lallana deserve a position in the starting 11? In the first half of the season, he was phenomenal, but from the Man City game onwards, so that's the 31st of December onwards, he scored a single goal for Liverpool in the league, and that was on the last day of the season. And that contribution is not good enough for a centre-mid, any centre-mid, a defensive centre-mid, let alone someone in this box-to-box attacking midfield role. And on that basis, can we really argue that Lallana should be in this position ahead of Coutinho or ahead of Wijnaldum or Chan? And I don't think so. And that's without even considering the defensive implications or the balance of the team. In which case, I put this to you or any of you, do you really feel after zero goals and assists until the last game of the season that Lallana deserves to be there on his pressing contribution alone, which is not specific, not unique to him?
I think the thing with Lallana is that it's not... Lallana is perhaps one of these players that stats don't tell the full story, because I completely agree with where you're coming from, but actually, if you look at Liverpool without Lallana, we're a completely different prospect. There were times this season where we really were struggling without him, without his movement in between the lines, without him pulling people left, right and centre. And it's sort of that job that he does to create space for other players around him and to pull people apart and to make way for others that actually is so incisive and so good about what he brings to the table, and that you don't get from stats. That isn't apparent in stats. And it actually goes back to an argument we had a while ago on one of these podcasts. I think Tom did an article on Coutinho and stats, and it perhaps doesn't tell the full story, because Lallana for me does bring a lot to the table, and it goes unnoticed. I do see where you're coming from in terms of Coutinho and other options that we have in our ranks, but it's not just his pressing that he does so well. He does need more end product, and he does need to improve that side of his game. But actually, it's the movement for me that is so, so incisive.
Can I just jump in here? Because I think, to an extent, Leanne, you're right. Lallana definitely brings something to the table that other players don't. However, Hamza also has a point that we were really, really bad for a significant portion of the back half of the season because Lallana wasn't playing well. And I think a lot of people, and I very much actually, I do agree with Hamza that if you're talking about on form alone, Lallana probably doesn't deserve to get into our starting 11. I'm just talking about in terms of, I'm arguing hypothetically here. In practice, I don't think Lallana was good enough in the back half of the season. And it was very telling that there were quite a few games where we played very, very badly in January and February. And Lallana was, for me, one of the key players in that, because Lallana was not playing well. And it's all very well and good having a player in your side who can do what Lallana does. However, when that player goes missing, which he did for a significant number of games in 2016-17, then you end up in this problem that you would end up with without him, which is that you're missing that element of the game anyway. And I feel that Coutinho certainly is capable of doing that from the deeper role. He didn't have the opportunity to do that from the left wing in the same way. So very much it's a case that he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, I think also you've got to remember at the start of 2016, obviously Lallana played out wide for probably 4, 5, 6 games. And Lallana is not the fastest of players, and he needs pace around him. So I think without Mane, Lallana isn't the same player. But now we've got Mane and Salah on both wings, Lallana's lack of pace won't be as significant as it was in January. And I think that's got to be remembered. And also, if I remember rightly, he was injured again for 4 or 5 games in 2017, which hasn't helped him. He's a player who always sort of misses 5-10 games a season through injuries. So I think that's definitely got to be taken into account when talking about that.
I think that sort of feeds into our next argument here, just touching on summer recruits. Obviously, it depends on who we bring in, and maybe we bring in Naby Keita, maybe we don't. Maybe we bring in Oxlade-Chamberlain, maybe we don't. But if Keita does come in for 70 million or 50 million, whatever the price may be, What do you feel, Hamza, is Liverpool's best starting 11? If, let's say, we're playing a 4-3-3, you've got to choose three midfielders out of a whole host of top-class options. Who would your midfield three be and why?
Coutinho, Keita, Henderson. That would be my first choice midfield three. But sorry to be in Norse, but it would actually depend on the team that we're playing against. But in the majority of situations, I would go with that midfield. And then you have a fantastic bench with a wealth of options and variety to utilise. And I think that midfield three would be fantastic. And with Lallana coming off the bench after Mane and Firmino and Coutinho and Salah have torn a team ragged for 60 minutes, you can only imagine the sort of contribution that he's going to make. So, yeah, that's what I would go with.
Joseph, how about you? Would you put Lallana in there, or do you feel that if Naby Keita is to come in, Lallana is probably the one to make way?
Yeah, Keita is such a top player that if he comes in, Lallana would have to accept being on the bench. You're not going to pay $70 million for Keita to sit on the bench, and he's got such balance about his game that he's very good defensively, in a similar mould to Wijnaldum, but he's also very good going forward. He's a slightly different player to Lallana, carries the ball better, maybe not quite as good as tight spaces, but yeah, if I had to pick a midfield three to start the season, if we did sign Keita, it would be Henderson, Keita and Coutinho, obviously Chan, if he has a good pre-season in the number six role, he's got a chance to compete with Henderson, but yeah, that'd be my midfield three.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I mean, if Keita comes in, he's just got to start. He's got to be starting every game. And Coutinho has got to be starting every game. And really, for me, then you're looking at a third choice between Henderson and Chan, whichever one Klopp feels is the best horse for that particular course. But I also agree with Hamza. As much as you want to talk about different players fitting into different systems, it's hard to argue that there's any circumstance playing any team where a midfield three of Henderson or Emre and then Keita and Coutinho isn't a really well-balanced, brilliantly set up team that's going to be high tempo and high energy regardless of who else is playing. I think, yeah, Keita and Coutinho, you put them in together in a midfield and then one other midfielder and you're talking gold, whoever you're playing against and whoever the third midfielder is.
Yeah, I think that third midfielder does come down to circumstance, and Hamza mentioned it earlier, actually. It does depend very much on who you are playing against, because if you're playing against a very physical team, I can see why you would then bring in someone like Emre Can, who has that physical, steely side to his game and that bullish figure that can sort of add a spark that no one else brings in the way that Henderson does in other aspects of his game. Other than that, obviously, Wijnaldum, he's good at moving the ball, and he has shown at times this season what he can do, especially at home. For you, Joseph, in terms of circumstances, if we were to play the so-called weaker teams in the Premier League, because those are the teams we tend to struggle against, would you be against playing someone like Emre Can and therefore opting for someone like Lallana? Or would you, in terms of circumstances, are you of the stance that actually the midfield that you mentioned would be for the most part, and then when the physical teams come in, you would bring in someone like Chan or someone like Wijnaldum to kind of combat that?
Yeah, I think, to be fair, on a physical point of view, obviously Chan is a bit more physical than Henderson, but if you've got Keita ahead of Henderson, I don't really think physicality is a big problem. Henderson's not small by any means. And if he's got two imposing centre-backs behind him, and Henderson's got Keita slightly ahead of him, I don't see physicality being a problem. I wouldn't play Wijnaldum, certainly at home against the lesser side, because I don't think he offers enough going forward, and he doesn't offer enough defensively to compensate for that. So I don't necessarily think physicality will be a massive problem if Keita signed and you had Henderson in the number six role.
Tom or Hamza, how about you? Would you feel that, obviously, the thing I'm trying to get at here, I think Joseph touched on it quite well, was Henderson in terms of physicality and Emre Can. Obviously, it's not all about how much muscle you have or if you can push your opponent off the ball, but there have been times where we've gone to Crystal Palace or gone to West Ham, and it has seemed a bit like Coutinho can't deal with the physicality, Lallana can't deal with the physicality, because they're not those type of players. So in that scenario, would you bring in Emre Can for Henderson, or would you actually trust Henderson to do the job and very much stick with the three players that you mentioned previously?
I think the main struggles that we've had against these lower sides that you've mentioned is the low block, isn't it? I would say that's more so of an issue than the physical aspect. I know we struggle with corners, but that's more sort of an individual sort of thing there. What I would stress is that if we're to do better against these teams where we've struggled with the low block, it's more an issue with plenty of the possession, but the struggle to break down the front line. But when we look at the last two games of the season, when we used a diamond, two strikers, we looked a lot much better in breaking down the low block. So too when we had Mane. And I think if we've got Salah and Mane, it won't really matter as much in regards to physicality, as long as we dominate the ball. If though, we're talking specifically in relation to physicality, I would give nod to Emre Can, but I very much doubt that's something that Klopp would do if Henderson's at full fitness, as he's their captain. Maybe if he needs to manage him one game a week, then that could happen. But for the most part, I would see Henderson playing most of those games as the number six. And the issue itself is not so much midfield, the midfield's physicality and breaking down or beating these lower sides. It's more so playing against a low block, which is a separate issue.
Yeah, I agree with Hamza to very much the same extent. The thing is, for me, I'm looking at this midfield. I'm looking at five central midfield starters, all of whom, there's a fair case to argue, are Klopp favourites or are undroppable. Because how many times have we seen Klopp not play Wijnaldum, not play Emre, not play Lallana, not play Henderson when they're all fit? That's the thing. Because across 16-17, there were very few occasions where all four were fit. The only one who I think has actually been actively dropped when they were fit is Wijnaldum, I think. But even then, a lot of people will argue Klopp's favourite midfield last season was Henderson, Wijnaldum, Lallana, and they'll just substitute in Coutinho for whichever one of those three they feel is the most droppable. But I don't think there is any kind of case to be made that any two of those five are less droppable than others, which is very much why I would favour a horses for courses rotation policy. But in terms of horses for courses, as Hamza said, you know, there's plenty of different factors to play in. The low block, in which case you'd arguably go Coutinho and Lallana if you can. Physical strength, so you could arguably go Can as well as Coutinho, Lallana. And then other games where you're playing teams you need more intensity, maybe, you know, which are your three most intense midfielders? Again, it's hard to say. So even if you do want to go on a horses for courses argument, it's pretty hard to see which three will get the nod, which is why I'm excited, because I'm looking at a midfield where you've got five options plus potentially a world-class addition, looking vying for three spots, and every single one of them, in my opinion, has an equal case in almost every scenario. So I think, you know, this debate has been really, really interesting, and all the players have their pros, but it's very, very difficult to come up with a conclusive argument for or against any particular player. And I think Lallana is very much the player who is going to be very interesting to see, because he's very much seen as the archetypal undroppable Klopp player. But we may see him being dropped, being rotated, and you never know. It's very, very hard to predict what Jurgen Klopp's going to do, and that's what makes it so exciting.
Okay, so I'll just pass to Tom for our next argument, which is going to be discussing basically Naby Keita alternatives. So Leipzig seem to be playing hardball when it comes to a potential transfer, and it could cost up to £70 million, which obviously is an astronomical fee when you look at the other needs that we have in the squad in terms of left-back and centre-back priorities as well. So, Tom, I'll pass over to you.
Yep. So, Leanne collated a series of opinions as to, if we don't sign Keita, which midfielder should be brought in. And for those of you who haven't read the article, the options are Leon Goretzka, Kevin Campbell, Renato Sanchez, who is a very, very tasty option there, Violin Cyprien, who I argue might be less of a well-known one, but he currently plays for Nice. And then James Nolton argued we don't need an alternative at all, and we shouldn't be going out and buying a central midfielder or a box-to-box player if we can't get Naby Keita. So those are all, in my opinion, no, none of those are a bad option. There isn't a single one of those options there that you could look at and go, I don't particularly want that. So we'll go through everyone and see what they thought. So I'll start with you on this one, Hamza. Is there, which option for you stands out? Or alternatively, do you have your own option who you would be pushing for instead of any of these particular options?
Of the options that were in the article, I would go for Renato Sanchez, a very, very young player who only just turned 20 by the start, or maybe just at the start of the season, the upcoming season. Extremely flexible across midfield, international experience, big club experience. I know it hasn't been a great experience at Bayern Munich, but it's big club experience nonetheless. And he's got the ball, strong, good range of passing. He has a wide range of qualities, and I think that's exactly what Liverpool will be looking for, a player that can fit in across midfield, fill in wherever the team needs him to fill in. It will improve over time, over a very long time, hopefully, if we bought him, something like that. And that would be my nomination from that article. But in terms of wider football, this is rather unrealistic, but Joshua Kimmich is one of my favourite players. Very, very intelligent. He can play in a deep midfield role, a central or advanced one. He likes Sanchez. He can dribble. His tackling is very impressive. He has a well-rounded game. He's a top, top player. And most importantly, it's his intelligence that I'm really impressed with. I think he would be a really, really valuable asset to Liverpool, which is why Bayern Munich is so intent on keeping him. But those would be my two players to fit in midfield if we couldn't get Keita.
Yeah, I've got to say, I do really like Renato Sanchez, and Joshua Kimmich is a fantastic player. I'll go to you now, Joseph. Which of the options on that list stood out for you personally, or is there an alternative option not on that list that you would be heavily pushing for?
Yeah, I think I've got two, really. One of them is mentioned in the article, and one of them isn't. So I'll start with the one that was mentioned in the article by Ollie. Leon Goretzka, big fan of his. Sort of watched him for the last couple of years, playing for Schalke and also playing for Germany as well. I think he's probably a slightly more defensive-minded option to Naby Keita. Maybe at the minute not quite got the offensive prowess that someone like Keita possesses. But he is a very good controller of the game. He is very good defensively. I think got 5 goals and 3 assists last season, playing in a slightly more defensive midfielder position for Schalke. And I think everyone's seen him in the Confederations Cup. He's been very good in a talented young German side, so I'd be very excited about someone like him coming in. But I don't quite think he's the perfect alternative to Keita. For me, I've watched quite a bit of Lazio this season, and that Milinkovic-Savic has been exceptional, really. I think he sort of is a sort of Keita-like player. He's very good and strong defensively, but going forward, travelling with the ball, and his decision making in the final third is very good. He's got 4 goals and 7 assists in Serie A. In my article, I compared him to Lallana, and he's actually got more take-ons than Lallana. So I think if you're looking for a sort of a perfect alternative to Keita, who can do a bit of defensive work and also good going forward, which is exactly what Keita is and why he's such a complete box-to-box midfielder, and which is why Klopp likes him and is prepared to pay possibly up to 70 million, then I think Milinkovic-Savic would be a very good signing.
Okay, and finally, I'll let Leanne have her say. Obviously, you collated the article, Leanne. Were there any of those names that jumped out to you when you were putting it together, or are there any other names that you personally would have wanted to put in?
I think Goretzka is a really good shout. I think, obviously, Ollie covers it very well. He's good at both ends of the pitch. He's got that physicality and that aerial prowess. The problem there then becomes Bayern Munich are quite interested in him, and we obviously can't compete with Bayern Munich at this point in time, so we would have to stand back and sort of let them have him. So Kevin Campbell, a good option, but he wouldn't be my preferred choice. I think Renato Sanchez, as Hamza said earlier, is a great option, and you touched on it yourself. I think he's young. Klopp loves to bring in a type of player who hasn't really fulfilled their potential, and he loves to harness it and sort of work and and get the player to where he could or should be. So I think that would be the case very much with Renato Sanches, who has seen his career stall in recent seasons. And it would be maybe a very costly outlay because, yes, he hasn't reached his potential, but he is still very, very young. And there is a lot of talent there and a lot of clubs can see it. I think what was very interesting and stood out for me was actually James at the end there saying, and it sort of goes back to our argument on Lallana, there is no need for an alternative because we're talking about three positions, basically, because a 4-3-3 formation. Now, you've got Jordan Henderson. Most Liverpool fans, now I put an emphasis on most because others will disagree with me very, very strongly, but most Liverpool fans would say that Jordan Henderson, when fit, will walk into the starting lineup and walk into that midfield because he adds that passing prowess and that physicality and the movement that he's sort of the jack of all trades. He's not sublime, but he does a job. He leads as he should because he's captain. And so he takes one of those spots. So then you've got Coutinho dropping back from midfield, Lallana or Wijnaldum. So you've already got a selection headache. And as James mentioned, you've got Obi Ejaria, you've got Marco Gruic, who some people believe should get his chance next season with us fighting on four fronts. So I can see the argument as to say, well, if Leipzig aren't going to sell their best player, if we can't get the player that we want, then why should we fork out so much money for an alternative? But just lastly, a point that Joseph raised there, Savic is a tremendous player. Now, I had to do a list like this for Anfield HQ a couple of weeks ago, and Savic was very much on my list and one of the key people on it because, as with Goretzka, he is tall, he's physical, but he's got a bit more in attack and going forward, he has that ability to play the incisive pass, to put his team on the front foot. And that's something Liverpool have lacked a lot this season. There have been times where it's been all too stale, too pedestrian, too turgid. It's too slow. And Lallana may be part of that. Wijnaldum, again, very hesitant on the ball sometimes. And when you're playing against a very, very packed defence, you need someone who can just drive forward with the ball and bring it to the goal and to attack. And I think that's what the likes of Goretzka, but mainly Savic, do. And I'd love to see a player like that at Liverpool. So Keita is a massive outlay, and I think we will struggle to get that one over the line, not in terms of finances, but because here you've got two teams that want Keita, one who already has him, and Liverpool being the other. And both teams want him as a linchpin in their midfield. They want to base the team around him. So it's going to be quite hard to drive him away. But, you know, this type of article shows there are a lot of quality alternatives.
Okay, that's some really good points there, Leanne. I'm going to quickly give my view and then we'll get back into it. I personally don't think we need to sign anyone. I think we shouldn't be going out and signing a central midfielder unless they are, you know, different class, which Keita clearly is. I don't think there's anyone on that list who is on that level, so I wouldn't go for it. But it seems like we've narrowed it down to about three names, which are obviously Sanchez, Goretzka and Savic. So I'm going to go to Hamza next. Hamza, you mentioned Sanchez yourself. What do you think of Goretzka and Savic? And do you think either of them would be on Sanchez's level? Or do you think that Sanchez is a cut above the other two?
I still think that they're a bit... Sanchez especially is too young in his development to really tell what the finished article would be. And I think that's true of all of them. In which case, I can't really make a clear point that one is going to be definitively better than the other because they're very early in their careers. All of the options would suit our style very well. They would add depth to the team and variety, but I'm not entirely sure whether we should make a move if we can't get the a top signing in like Keita or Kimmich, for example. In which case, we should keep tabs on these players, and if they're available, we should buy them. But we do have scrap that. We should buy another midfielder. This season, we had some midfield issues. Henderson was injured for most of the season. And Chan had to play midfield. Lucas had to play midfield. Gruch had to come on sometimes. In which case, yes, we should buy another midfielder. Scrap what I said earlier. We need a bit more depth.
Okay. So Hamza very much in favour of signing one of these players. And, you know, I agree with you. They're all very, very similar. Joseph, back to you. What do you make of Renato Sanchez? Because he's the one that you didn't pick up on, as you say. You mentioned Goretzka and Savic. So how do you think Sanchez compares?
Yeah, I think Sanchez is a very good player. Obviously, he deserved his move to Bayern Munich. Hasn't quite got the chance there, but that happens at top clubs. I think he is a good player. I think the only concern I'd have with him is his age. If you're talking about Cater, who's really very much an elite player, if you're talking about alternatives, then you're going to want someone who can come straight into the team and change the dynamic of the midfield, which I think Cater would do. Savage obviously hasn't quite got the experience, so I think it'd be the more risky of the sort of three players we're talking about. But I wouldn't be against it. He's a very good player, very good going forward. He's quite physical. Maybe needs to improve his discipline if he is to sort of fit into a 4-3-3. If he's playing alongside a Coutinho or Lallana, but I certainly wouldn't be against the signing. As for as not signing anyone, I think that'd be exceptionally risky. One, because of how many games we're going to be playing next season. I think people sort of underestimate how many games we could be playing, probably up to 70 if we do well in all competitions. Henderson, as we've seen, is quite injury prone. So is Lallana. So you're sort of one injury away from having to play Ajari or Grujic, who are both good players, but they need time to develop. I don't quite think Klopp trusts them yet, which possibly is partly down to him. He likes players he can trust. So I think Ajari and Grujic would be perfect to play in domestic cup competitions, but we wouldn't want to end up in a situation where we've got two or three first choice midfielders out, which is perfectly possible with our injury record and the way Klopp likes to play, and we're ending up with an Ajari or Grujic in midfield against a Barcelona or Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, because I think just end in disaster. And I think it'd be us not learning from our mistakes. Even this season, without European football, we've struggled the amount of games we play because of the injuries. So I think it'd be a little bit naive to go into the season without signing another midfielder.
Okay, so again, that's a bit of a... So you both of you picked up on something there which me and Leanne kind of disagreed with, which was that you both thought we did need someone else for definite. Leanne, I'll let you kind of maybe fight our corner on this one a little bit. Do you feel that there's a case made there that actually... we already have just about enough depth that we need, or do you think we absolutely need to bring in one of these key players? As we mentioned, Goretzka, Sanchez, and Savic appear to be the three that people are most keen on.
I think I see both sides, because Emre Can obviously has impressed at times this season. He hasn't got the consistency, but I think there's real quality in his boots, and I think he'll have a great future at Liverpool. And I think he'll have a much more important role next season. In terms of Jordan Henderson, again, it's sort of seeing both sides, because he has got a lot of injury issues at the moment. And should they persist, I completely agree with Joseph that, you know, suddenly who are you going to turn to? But actually, in terms of this season, that was the case. And Emre Can stood out and he made use of those chances. So you've got the likes of Coutinho and Lallana who can propel us forward while also pulling the strings behind should they take a deeper role. And then you've got Wijnaldum, who brings a certain energy and verve to the midfield while coming in with interceptions and tackles and sort of keeping us ticking over, doing sort of the dirty bits. Emre Can then, with his physicality and his passing and his goal scoring, which he's sort of adding to now. So there is a lot of quality options there. And I was having a debate on Twitter earlier, basically saying Ajari needs to go out on loan, whether we sell Cater or not, because you've got Emre Can, you've got Henderson, you've got Grujic will be ahead of him in the pecking order as well. And then you've got Lallana, Wijnaldum. So if we're sticking with a 4-3-3 formation, actually, where are the chances coming for these youngsters? And they're not going to get many, regardless of a summer acquisition. So I do see where the argument in terms of depth is coming from. And yes, we're fighting on four fronts, but actually we've got a heck of a lot of quality in midfield as it stands. And with us needing a centre-back, needing a left-back, and potentially looking at Chamberlain to come in to sort of be a jack-of-all-trades, suddenly, with such an inflated market as well, it is a lot to ask. So I do think if a player like Naby Keita comes along and says, hey, I'm interested in the move, of course you're going to go for him completely. And there are very, very good quality, not as urgent as some people would suggest it to be.
Okay, I think that's a really good summary, Leanne. So I feel like we've covered this one pretty well. I feel like we've got everyone's viewpoints, and there's a lot of really good options out there. Whether or not we need to bring in one of those options is very much up for debate by the looks of it, or at the very least, it's not straightforward. So I will pass back to Leanne now, because we're going to move on to talk about Liverpool's new number nine, Roberto Firmino, who took the number nine shirt after Salah picked up the 11 shirt. And Adam Patrician has written a really good article on why we don't need to sign Mbappe, because we already have a world-class number nine. So I'll pass over to Leanne to kind of introduce that discussion and kind of dictate that discussion.
Yeah, so obviously there have been a lot of recent links with Kylian Mbappe, and could he make a big money move to the Premier League this summer? And should he be interested in such a move? Would Liverpool put their hat in the ring? Now, obviously, with a quality player such as Mbappe and at such a young age, Liverpool fans rightly so want to see their club competing for those type of players, because after all, we're Liverpool Football Club. We should be competing for these players. But what Adam does so well in this article is he basically addresses this whole number nine idea and saying, you know, Roberto Firmino with his new number, yes, he is now our number nine, but actually it would make Mbappe a very strange rival. And again, I had a discussion with someone earlier, basically saying you don't give the number nine to a player if you're then going to bring in someone like Mbappe or Lacazette or Aubameyang, because it just wouldn't make sense. It would, as Adam says, be a strange arrival. So just basically pulling off that, I'm going to go to Joseph first. Joseph, what do you sort of make of the Mbappe rumours, and do you think actually, as Adam says so brilliantly in this article, that it would be a very, very strange addition to the squad and affect the balance of the squad, because Liverpool have such a big shopping list this summer, and you know, we can't afford to be splashing out on a position where actually we've got Firmino as our number nine and he's a quality player?
Yeah, I think the first thing to say on this is that Firmino, the job he does for the team is brilliant. He's probably being more clinical away from being a complete striker. He is very much Suarez-esque, the way he holds the ball up, the way he links play, drops deep, allowing Mane and Salah this season to run in behind. He is a very good striker, and I'd quite happily see him be our first choice number nine going this next season. But I think the Mbappe rumours are that I think everyone expects him probably to go to Spain in Real Madrid. But if he is interested in a move to England, then it's seen as sort of he's too good of a player to elect to go to an Arsenal or Chelsea or a Man U. Arsenal are the main ones that have been talked about, probably with the Wenger connections. Like, you can't afford to let a potential title or top four rival get such a good player, in which case, even if we are not looking to actively sign a striker to compete with Firmino to be that number nine, and Mbappe's too good of an option to allow to go to a title rival, and therefore we have to be interested. I completely agree with that. You'd be allowing a competitor to get such an amazing player who could turn out to be absolutely incredible if he fulfills all his potential over the next 4 or 5 years, and that would really hamper our chances sort of in a title and going forward. So I think if Mbappe does want to move to England, then we should definitely be in for him, and it'd probably mean that someone like Sturridge would leave, but with his injury record, he can't sort of rely on him to be Firmino's backup. So I definitely think if, and it's a big if, I don't think he is interested in a move to England, then we should definitely do all we can to sign him. But I would say that can't come at the detriment to signing Van Dijk or a centre-back and a centre midfielder. It would have to be as well as, which is with FSG as our own. I just can't see that being the case. But I think it's understandable why we are interested.
Yeah. So going to Hamza now, a point that Adam raises really well for me that I do want to emphasise is he effectively says replacing Firmino with Mbappe would make us faster. But at the end of the day, that's all well and good if you're on the counter-attack. But to be on the counter-attack, you need to have won the ball. You need to have the ball. You need to be in possession. And that really touches on what Firmino brings to this side, because he's not the most natural striker in the sense that actually he came into the club predominantly as a wide player or as a player off the striker, and he is very much a false nine. But his work rate fits so seamlessly into what this Liverpool team need and what Jurgen Klopp is looking for. And so he fits the bill so perfectly. So why would you go and basically interrupt that with someone who, yes, is very, very good quality, but perhaps not the right fit for Liverpool? Would you be in agreement with that?
I think that point you made there can be spun another way. Firmino is so perfect to Liverpool that if we consider what would happen if he was injured, well, Daniel Sturridge I'm a huge, huge fan, but in reality, he's very injury prone. So we're realistically one injury away from Divock Origi being a starting striker in the Champions League and the league. And is that really a situation you want to be in on the back of a poor season for him? And Dominic Solanke then being the substitute striker, as most of us expect things to go out on loan. In which case, the case can certainly be made that we actually do need a striker if Firmino gets injured. We saw that he struggled with fitness towards the end of the season, despite this only being a short season for Liverpool, when he couldn't start against Stoke. So I think there's an issue there, because Firmino is so perfect, so essential to our team. Wouldn't it make sense in some respects to actually bring in a player that can do a similar role, if not just score goals more frequently than he does? And in that sense, I think there is a case for Mbappe. That being said, I do agree with the argument, but the argument made in the article. But I think this is a credible argument nonetheless, that if Firmino gets injured, what do we do? Because he's so perfect in suiting our style and type of play that we may be in a bit of a pickle if he did get injured, especially as, say, if Sturridge was fit, he seems to function better as part of a two, in which case the formation has to change and there has to be a lot more accommodation within the team. So that's my issue there, more so than what you put to me.
I'm going to jump in here because I have quite a few things I just want to jump onto that Hamza said. I think the first thing is, I think it's a bit unfair to say we're one injury away from Divock Origi starting, because we're still two injuries away. You can't just assume that Sturridge is going to be injured long enough that, you know, I agree. I take your point that with Sturridge injury prone, it would only take an injury to Firmino for there to be problems. But I think, you know, you're still talking about two injuries, not just one. I don't think that, you know, I don't think you can just put Sturridge down in a column as a guaranteed injury. I'm not sure that's necessarily fair. I think the other point to make on that is Divock Origi suits our style a lot more when he's playing with certain players. I think the problem that Origi had quite a lot this season was that he was playing with Coutinho and Firmino either side of him, and that does not suit his game whatsoever. I think if you watch Origi play with quick wingers, which we have in Salah and Mane, I think he'll benefit a lot more from having defenders who can stretch strike wingers who can stretch defences. That very much would benefit Origi, because he's not very good at the kind of the intricate short passing game, which is, and having to be the one to stretch defences. He benefits a lot from playing alongside Daniel Sturridge, which is why I think he will benefit a lot from playing alongside both Mane and Salah, especially since he benefits from crosses and having two wide players who can stretch fullbacks will open up space behind four crosses. So I think, certainly, I don't think it's that straightforward that we do need another striker, because I think the three we have, A, are not going to be injured enough, and B, have got enough depth and balance that there's going to be a lot to bring to the table there. That said, I don't agree with Adam that it's this simple case that Firmino, I mean, the argument Firmino is the perfect striker except he doesn't score enough goals is kind of weird for me, because you're just saying he's the perfect player to play in any position except striker. That, you know, if you look at what Firmino brings to the table, you're talking about the perfect number 10. You're not talking about the perfect striker, because the perfect striker will score goals. And for me, that's the key thing that Firmino is missing. So I think he's maybe a perfect false nine. I think that's perfectly an argument to be made. And if Klopp wants to play with a false nine, which I think is a perfectly valid thing to do, but I don't think you can say he's the perfect striker, because he's not even close to the perfect striker. The perfect striker is Harry Kane. That's, you know, and I also think this idea that if we bring in a striker, I think to be fair to Adam, he's comparing explicitly with Mbappe, who maybe doesn't have the kind of stuff that he's talking about. But, and I think he does kind of bring in, I think Timo Werner is a good example of a striker who would be a good middle point in that he is very capable of doing the press, he's very capable of doing the running, he's very capable of holding up the ball, but he will add more goals than Firmino. And I think another one to mention is Aubameyang. Like, I know Aubameyang is out there and he is available, and he has the potential to do that kind of pressing style, to play that kind of game and also add the pace. And then the other one I'd like to bring up is Lacazette, because Lacazette has, his numbers are not necessarily comparable to Firmino, but they are of a level to indicate he could well do the Firmino job alongside adding goals. So I'm not sure that this perception of Firmino as a perfect Klopp player is accurate, because I don't think he scores enough goals. However, that doesn't necessarily mean we need to go out and sign a striker. So I think there's two ways of looking at it. I'm very much on the fence on this one again, because on the one hand, I think arguing that Firmino is good enough as a striker that we don't need a goal scorer is not necessarily accurate. However, on the other hand, do I think we need to be spending 70 million quid on a striker with our current options? Plausibly not, especially if we can keep Salah in particular, but also Mane fit. So I think there's both sides of it have their merit, but I'm not sure it's as straightforward as Firmino is so good that we don't need someone like Mbappe. Yeah.
I think the key here is sort of, I want to touch on viable alternatives, because Tom, you sort of touched on it there, made some really, really good points about the likes of Aubameyang and Lacazette. And I think it sort of comes down to, also as fans, we want to see Liverpool going after these players because they are top quality players. They are top quality strikers. And as well as Firmino fits our system, actually, here is Aubameyang who plays for Dortmund. He played for Dortmund under Jurgen Klopp, and so he was part of the same pressing style that we now have. So I can see the point of Mbappe and how, Liverpool have now got this new number 9 in Roberto Firmino, but if there are viable options out there, do we not take them? And touching on that, also the current options in the ranks, which Adam looks at, because he says, we've got Daniel Sturridge, if fit. That's a great option. We've got Danny Ings. Potentially, he goes out on loan next season. We've got Divock Origi. We've got Dom Solanke now as well. So there are plenty of options. So, Joseph, for you, is it a case of Mbappe being Firmino being a really good fit for Liverpool? Or is it actually a case, yes, Firmino is a great fit, but actually we don't need any other players as well because we've got so many good options? Or is it, as I've sort of touched on, and Tom as well, Lacazette and Aubameyang are players that would suit the system, but right now we don't need them because of Firmino?
I think in an ideal world, we do need another striker. I agree with Hamza. You can't rely on Sturridge to be fit. The amount of times he's been injured when we've needed him this season, last season, he's just not been fit, and that's going to be even more significant when we've got more games to play this season. I think you've got to view Sturridge as, when he's fit, it's a bonus, I think it's a harsh thing to say, but you've got to assume he is going to be injured. As for Origi, I don't quite think he suits a 4-3-3. He is better when he's got wingers either side of him, but when we're playing against teams in a low block, his movement isn't particularly intelligent. And I think the biggest thing that lets Origi down is actually his football and intelligence. He doesn't seem to make the runs you'd expect a striker to. When he needs to link the play against sides, you sit back, he doesn't drop deep and bring other players into the game. So I do think, we, in an ideal world, as much as I do love Sturridge, I'm one of his biggest fans, if he was fit, there's no doubt he'd be world class. But I think in an ideal world, we do need a striker, and the names we've mentioned, Lacazette, Werner, Aubameyang, I think are two good options to turn down. Imagine a Liverpool side that has either Firmino or an Aubameyang, Lacazette or Werner playing in every Premier League or Champions League game. We're going to be a pretty formidable four. So I think those options are too good to turn down. And the options we've got in our current team can't be relied on, unfortunately. I think that's reality. And if we do go into the season with the options we've got, I think it may come back to haunt us, unfortunately.
And Hamza, would you agree with that? Or Tom, either of you have any strong views on what Joseph said there?
I think that he's... It's tough because I very much sympathise with the viewpoint that we need another striker, because in my opinion, we do. But at the same time, I'm not sure the current options we have are insufficient. So I'm very much on the fence. I think in an ideal world, I mean, look, we'd all piss ourselves if we got Aubameyang. We'd absolutely piss our pants with excitement if we went out and spent 70 million on Aubameyang, because he's just, you know, he's a world-class striker who would add so much to this team. Ditto Mbappe, ditto to a slightly lesser extent Lacazette. Werner maybe not, but he's still a very exciting signing. So I think Joe's spot on to the extent that, you know, if you're looking at having Sturridge or Firmino or Lacazette, for example, in every single Premier League game, that's, you know, we're going to score a lot of goals. On the other hand, you know, we've only got a certain amount of finances to spend. And I can understand why Klopp isn't prioritising a striker, even though it would be one position that I think we maybe need to. But as I've said, I think Origi is a really good option. And I think the other thing that people seem to underestimate about Origi is that he's a goal scorer. Like, he scores goals very quickly, and he scores a lot of goals. I mean, he's, what, 21? And he's already scored 20 goals in his first two seasons at Liverpool. That's pretty impressive up until this point. So I think he is the sort of player who can nag a goal in those sorts of games. And that's what I think we need against low block teams. And I think it's very easy to criticise his footballing decisions, but often what's happened in the games that he's been criticised in, it's often been when he's been really isolated, because Firmino and Coutinho aren't the sort of players who will stretch defences themselves. And it's very hard to stretch it, to make a sort of run that will stretch defence, when you're safe in the knowledge that if you do that, there's going to be 30-40 yards between you and another Liverpool player. So
I agree with that.
Which is why Sturridge works.
Yeah. No, I think what Adam's article does is it sort of identifies the fact that Firmino is a perfect fit for Liverpool. There are alternative options that us as fans would love to see, but then it becomes a case of, well, where does the money go and where's the money most needed? So we'll wrap up there. Some really, really interesting debates and really, really good articles. So we'll do some plugs now. So Joseph, have you got anything coming up? Anything you want to plug here?
A good lead on, actually, from our discussion. I've got an article coming up on why Sturridge and Reed can't be relied on to be backups to Firmino. So that fits quite well. So that should be coming later on this week.
Yeah, that sounds like a very interesting read. So I'll keep out for that one. Hamza, how about you? Anything coming up from you?
I've got a piece that will come out very, very soon about why Klopp should get rid of Sacco. And I've also got a few pieces that are a bit old. Keita, Lacazette, one on FSG that fans might find an interesting read. It's quite long. But I'm on Twitter at HamzaKL97.
And finally, but certainly not least, Tom, anything from you?
I've got an article out at the moment that I think is a really... interesting and important one, which is kind of examining why it is that Liverpool haven't made the number one, or at least in the top two or three priorities this summer, a left back, because I think it's staggering that we're kind of looking at a left back as almost an afterthought in our transfer policy. And the other thing to mention is just that Leon Goretzka, who we were talking about earlier, has scored twice today for Germany against Mexico in the Confederations Cup semi-final. So that's just a point to kind of back up how good a player he is and what he can kind of bring to the team.
Yeah, I've seen that. Some very, very good play from him. And I think he would be a very, very good addition. So we'll have to keep an eye out and hope Liverpool look for a quality midfield addition if Keita is not available. So in terms of my articles, I've got one just recently out for Anfield HQ, actually looking at Keita and where he would fit in, who could possibly drop out. So again, that touches on what we've been talking about today. And then looking at left-back options for Liverpool, because that's not really been discussed, which is quite worrying. There's not a lot of options out there at the moment, but Andy Robertson, again, seems to be back in the pipeline, and Kieran Tierney from Celtic. So a couple of things to watch out for there. Okay, so that wraps up another episode of the Anfield Index Writers Podcast. Thank you, Joseph and Hamza, for joining us today. It was very, very good to talk about your articles, contrasting views on Adam Lallana, but both very, very good points, and both discuss your different stances very well. So thank you very much for joining us, and thank you to you all for listening.
Social Podcast Network.